Morning. It's good to see you here today. I'll share with you with what I share with those that when I go to Oaks Manor, and it's that I am not a preacher, but I love Jesus just like you, and I love to share Jesus, and I know each and one of you here has that same feeling. For several years, I was asked to help out with the services at Oaks Manor, and I've been truly blessed taking part of that. But before we get started, I'd like to open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather today in this sanctuary to worship you and to praise you, to praise your holy name with all of our heart. We come to express our gratitude for all you have blessed us with in this life. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercies, and for the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. May we live this life you have given us, loving others, and being a reflection of our Lord and Savior in this world as we continue on to do your work. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. At Oaks Manor, over the years, I'd rotate in and out with the local pastors from Antioch Church and Oak Grove Church, of course, the Christian Church. And there for a while, the Methodist minister would be there, but he has bowed out. He probably had maybe other responsibilities. But there's been several churches around that would help share the gospel at Oaks Manor. And also just recently, Dick Miller, he's been helping out too. The people staying there are from everywhere around central Illinois, and from Toledo or St. Joe or Hoopston. And there's a lady right now, Gloria. She's a sweetie, and she comes out in her wheelchair, and she's from around Quincy area. And then there was a man from Texas, but they all come out together when we all show up. They all been uprooted from their homes. You know, our homes are our sanctuary. It's our refuge, isn't it? A place where we can go after work and rewind and take our shoes off and relax. But, you know, it's kind of disturbing at first to be pulled out of your home and to go into a new environment where there's some strangers and other people around. And sometimes it can be really busy there. So it's a big adjustment for some. But some others, they can adapt real easy. And they all come from different denominations. They come from the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, and Methodist, and the Baptist Church, and non-denominations. And they all bring different traditions and different beliefs. Like some churches will have communion once a month, and like here every week. And some have infant baptism. And it's just completely different for everyone there. But you know, at that stage in their life, those things are kind of non-essential. You know, we have the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Baptists, they're all together. They're all bound to blood of Jesus. So whatever traditions they had, they left them behind. All they want to hear is the good news. The first thing that I say when I greet them, I'm on a rotation. I'm there about 2 months out of the year, and then I substitute. So the first thing I say when I come in and greet them is that, oh, how blessed I am to see you today. I am so glad to see you. And that puts a bright smile on their face right away. And the other thing that I greet them with is that God loves you. And I go around the room and I say, God loves you, and God loves you, and God loves you. And I follow it with, and I love you too. And you know, those words of love are comforting and they warm our hearts. And we all need to hear that, don't we? In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. God will never abandon his followers. So when they leave their environment, their home, their safe place, and come to this environment at Oaks Manor, it's important that they know wherever they go in life, God is always with them. In the Old Testament, God made his presence known to Moses and the Israelites by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. We are very special to God. He says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, all over the earth, and all over creepy things that creeps on earth. We are not only made in God's image, but he has given us a responsibility to take care of his creation. And if you notice, it says, let us make man in our image, and the word our. So in the beginning, it wasn't just God by himself, but there was Jesus Christ, and there was the Holy Spirit at the beginning of all creation. And I was thinking the other day, just imagine these disciples walking with Jesus. Jesus, who's seen it all come together at the very beginning, and here he is walking beside him and talking with him and eating with him. Many years ago, excuse me, I told Paul a couple weeks ago, I had surgery a year ago this month, and they up here, and they had to move my throat over a little bit, and so I've had a little issue with swallowing sometimes. It doesn't affect me every time, but sometimes I have a little problem swallowing, and hopefully that'll work out of it, maybe. Oh, many years ago, Kent Grummet asked me out to his house. He wanted to talk about farming. So I went out to Kent's and sat down at the kitchen table, and we were talking. And I think you know where Kent lived. Kent lived about a mile or so northeast or northwest of the hay store. Are you up here at Kent? So we're sitting at the table, and I was looking around while we were talking, and I saw a big, beautiful picture of mountains and green valleys and buffalo, and it was really pretty. And I commented to Kent, I said, I really love your picture. And so he said, come here. And he got up from the kitchen table, and he went over, and he slid open these wooden doors, and off to the side of the kitchen was a room filled of just beautiful paintings. And I started walking around the room, and I was looking up and down. Some of them, the walls were so full, he had to put some on the floor. So I was looking up and down and looking at all of them, and I walked around the room, and I was looking over here. I said, Kent, do you collect art? He goes, oh, and he said, no. He said, no, I painted these. I said, you painted these? I said, I didn't know you were an artist. I said, these are really beautiful. And so I got to thinking, I said, Kent, would you want to sell me that one with the mountains and the valleys and the buffalo in it? And he goes, no, I don't think I would, no. He was nice about it. So I said, well, and we're still in the room. So, well, how about that one? Would you want to sell that one? No, I don't know. So, okay, I'll try one more time. So I went over here. I said, well, how about this one, Kent? I said, I really love this one. Would you sell that one? He goes, no. He said that, he smiled politely and said, no, I can't sell them. He said, they're a part of me. He said he wouldn't sell any of them for any price. So it is that God would never let us go, because we belong to God. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our sins were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not created just for time here, but we are created for eternity. We are here to do God's work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He also has set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Isn't that true? Oh, when I was a young boy and I was outside back in the 1960s, I'd look up at the stars and the moon. I'd just wonder what was far beyond that. There's a lot of mystery and wonder out there in the universe. Because He has set eternity in our hearts. We have a spiritual thirst right here. We have eternal value. Nothing but the eternal God can satisfy us. He has given us a tiny glimpse of his creation right here on earth. And he has put it on our hearts to do his work while we are here. I think Rich mentioned something last week, that no matter how old we are, we're still got to do God's work till that day he calls us home. The material things in this world will never replace that empty spirit void that God has placed in man's heart when he created us. We were created for a purpose, to carry out God's plan, and he is using the time he has given us here as an opportunity to come to know him and to develop a personal relationship with him. There's a Bible study I was involved with several years ago right here in church, and I can't remember, I'm going to say this wrong, but it, knowing God, Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby just passed away probably about 5-6 months ago, but it's knowing God, experiencing God, has come to know God and have a personal relationship with you. And I tell you, it had an impact on me, and I appreciated that Bible study. Did you know in the Old Testament, unauthorized approach to God was fatal? Because God is holy and his presence was so sacred for sinful humans to approach him without proper meditation and preparation. We have read in Leviticus where Aaron's two sons were struck dead because they disobeyed God. Today, I believe in our society, we have lost that reverence and that fear for an almighty, holy, righteous God. He that holds life and death in the palm of his hand. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. At the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain of the temple was ripped from the top down to the very bottom, symbolizing his sacrifice, removed the barrier between God and humanity. This event signified the end of the Old Testament and the new beginning for all believers through Jesus. And Jesus made it possible to access God today. We don't have to go through a high priest. We don't have to worry about going through anybody. We have direct access to God. We can go wherever we're at, whether we're at home or in the car or in the combine or in the tractor. You know, especially in the farming business, there's a wonderful opportunity the farmers have to be sitting in the evening at sunset and experience the most beautiful sunset that God has given them. And it is you feel the holy presence of God right then and there. So we can go directly to God with our prayers. What a wonderful gift God has given us. He who's made the Milky Ways, the galaxies, the stars, the sun, and the moon, which you know he perfectly placed the moon and the sun and earth all together. If the earth is just a few degrees one way or the other, our environment here complains completely. If the earth is back a little ways or close, we either burn up or we're freeze to death. Or the earth would just be an ice cube. God, the creator, put everything just perfect for us to exist here. God sits on his throne, holding all things together. And he has given us his word, the Holy Bible, so we can come to know him and his ways. God is always at work around us. He never slumbers, nor does he sleep. If we stop and wait and be still, I believe the Holy Spirit will enlighten us in what God is doing around us. You know, sometimes today, especially, we get so busy, we get so distracted with many things that we just don't stop and look and see what God is doing. I just saw recently, and I wasn't going to mention Charlie Kirk today at all, but I just saw recently on the news, or there was a 36% jump in Bible sales since September. And it is in a response to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Today, millions of people are still mocking him and saying cruel things. He was a loving father, and he was a loving husband. You know, 70 years ago, most people sitting in church pews would probably agree with everything Charlie Kirk was saying and doing. But the times have changed. Our culture's changed. God has given us the opportunity to know him. And in him, when we get to know him, he creates us in a new heart. A heart like Christ. So we can be a reflection of Christ to others in doing his work to further his kingdom here on earth. Charlie had a purpose in his short life, and that was to share Christian conservative values. He went out in public from state to state and from city to city, peacefully talking about our Lord and Savior. And you know, it's not much different than the time of the disciples. You know, Stephen was stoned to death. James was the first martyr. Of course, you know, Paul, mercy. You know, Paul was probably one of my favorites. I don't know if I'm supposed to have a favorite in the Bible, if that's good or not. But I love Paul. Boy, he really spoke to my heart. I loved all of his writings. But Paul, man, what did he go through? You know, he was beaten. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He had 40 Jews. In Acts, it says 40 Jews took out a note to kill him. He was in prison many times. The life God has given us is short, no matter how long we live. There's a lady over at Oaks Manor, Luella Dollar. She's 102 years old, and her eyesight is frailing, and her body is very tired. And she used to come out and listen to the sermons, but today she's just too weak. She didn't get out of her room. But she has a wonderful memory. She can talk to you about the Bible. She talks to you about the old days, what Oakland was like in the countryside and the people. She has experienced and seen many, many changes in her life. She has lost several family members and friends. But I'll share with you this. She knows the Bible, and she has a love for Jesus and God's Word. And with all the changes that she has seen in her life, there's one thing that has not changed and will never change, and that is God's Word. The Word of God will never change, no matter how our culture and society tries to change it and twist it. God's Word never changes. In Romans 14, verse 8, it says, if we live for the Lord, and we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So if we are eternity-minded, we are focused on heaven and not spending much time doing our pleasing others. We need to be, what I'm trying to say here is that we need to be focused on eternity and not about trying to make other people happy around us all the time. We want to please God first above all things. And some steps that lead to eternity with God is to recognize that we need a Savior, to acknowledge that we are sinners. We were born in sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, just as sin has entered into the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. We were all born into sin and we're all in need of Savior. We can't be good enough. I know there's people that rely on, well, I haven't done anything really bad. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody or stole anything. And it doesn't matter. We still have sin. God is holy, and he will not be associated with sin. Sin hurts our relationship with God. All people are sinful. And so they are separated from God, all deserving punishment. It doesn't matter, like I said, if we're good or not. We have to recognize that we are a sinner and we need Jesus. For Jesus is our only cure. And another thing we need to do is to believe in all of our heart in Christ Jesus. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martin Luther once said, maybe you already know this, Martin Luther said, born once, die twice. But born twice, die once. If we're born once, that means we're born into the flesh, and we aren't born again in Christ Jesus. But if we are born twice, we only die once, and that's the physical death. There's no second death. We go into the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and not be judged, but has crossed over from life to death. Eternal life with God begins when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. And today is the day of salvation, isn't it? Have you ever been on a trip and you're not sure where the exit is? I know Rhoda and I have been on a few, not a whole lot. But the worst thing to do on a trip, and you don't know where the exit is if you get stuck behind a semi. Oh, that is so terrible, because you don't know whether you need to get out this lane or if you need to stay in this lane. So it's always really challenging trying to find your exit. Well, the good thing is that maybe your spouse who's in the passenger seat has the map that can help guide you and give you direction on what exit to take. So after a few moments while you're traveling down the road, your spouse may say, honey, I think the exit was back there. Anybody, that's happened to me once, I think. I'm not even saying, you notice I said spouse because I didn't say wife or husband. I said spouse. I didn't want to get in trouble with anybody. Well, on our journey of life, God has given us a map. And it's the Holy Bible. But you know, we got to open it up and we got to read it. We got to know what that Bible says. It's already planned out for us, planned out from the very beginning. 2,000 years ago, anyway, we know when Jesus died on the cross for us. It's already planned out for us, providing us direction to our heavenly home. And there's just one big exit for us. And that exit sign says one way, Jesus Christ. That's our exit. It's a cross on Calvary. Jesus has power over life and death, as well as power to forgive sins. And this is because he is the creator of life. John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is saying he is the only path to the Father. Stay on the narrow road. And don't get off. The broad road's tempting. It has all the fluffs and flares of life. But we want to stay on the narrow road because we know where the narrow road is safe and where it takes us. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And as we are growing in our walk with God, we begin to change. We change from the inside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. And with that, I say, hallelujah. What is that song that the Gaithers, they had? Is it He Touched Me? You remember that song? I remember after I had this change. I haven't changed. Haven't shared this with hardly very many people because you don't know how people react or respond. But one day, many, many, many years ago, I was wanting to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I wanted to have that personal relationship with him. And I had friends around me that said, you know, I felt like God was telling me this, or God was trying to lead me here, or I prayed about this one thing. I felt God was putting it on my heart. And I thought, wow, you know, I want to know when God's speaking to me. I want to have that type of relationship that they have. So one time I was praying and praying and praying, and I was in the road driving while I'm praying, that I wanted to have that relationship those other people had. I want to know, God, when you are speaking to me, I want to hear in my heart that you are talking to me. Well, all of a sudden, things in that front of that windshield looking out just seemed completely different. I felt like a disconnection with a disconnection with the world that I'm looking at. And from this little feeling on the top of my head and down through my body, there was, I don't know if anyone would say it's a warm feeling or not, but there was something that changed. And the very first time when I opened up the hymn book and they had the song for that morning, He Touched Me, Mercy. I could relate to every verse in that hymn. Because He touched me, you know, the words, something happened that I can't explain, that He touched me and made me whole again. Oh, wow. I began to swell up with tears because at the time I had to look down at the bottom of the hymn to see who even wrote that song. I didn't know the Gaithers wrote that song. So I looked down at the bottom and I said, the Gaithers. And then I knew the Gaithers, whoever wrote that song, knew exactly what I was going through. God changes us from the inside out. Another thing we need to do is repent, and repentance means to turn away from sin, changing of one's mind. We have to recognize what sin is and turn from it. And today, mercy. There is so much sin you see on television. We see it, it's being introduced into our grade schools. It's just amazing to me. That's another whole story. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from the time when Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. I will repeat that again. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. That time of refreshing may come from the Lord. We need to confess our sins, then turn from Him, turn from them. When we do, God will refresh us. The material things of this world are not that important. One time, I was watching Billy Graham on TV, and he was talking about repentance and turning from sin. And he was doing it. He's saying, if we're living this way in life, we're going this direction, and this is the world's way, we need to turn around and repent and turn towards God. If we don't turn from sin, we are rebelling against God. If we want to follow Jesus through that narrow gate to our eternal home, we have to repent and turn from sin. And I think in our society today, people are confused maybe what sin is, or maybe they don't care. But if we as Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have any excuse. We do not condone sin. We do not endorse sin. And we do not celebrate sinful behavior. But we share God's truth and love to those who are lost or confused, don't we? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And as you know, God does not lie. And the other step we need to take while we are here on our journey of life is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." This is what the elders had commended. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore we have always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are always away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Do you know Fanny Crosby? You ever heard of her? I'm sure most of you probably have. Fanny Crosby. Well, Fanny Crosby was born in 1820, and she died in 1915. She wrote around 8,000 hymns and songs. Isn't that amazing? And the thing is that I was reading about her was that I think around 6 weeks old, I think she went blind. So she wrote all these beautiful hymns and gospel songs. Well, a few of the songs, there's so many of them, but there's maybe three here I can mention, or four. One of them is "Blessed Assurance," "To God Be the Glory," "Praise Him, Praise Him," and "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." And like I said, there was many, many more. Well, Fanny Crosby, she didn't have sight. She had Jesus right here. She couldn't see, but she had Jesus, and she produced all of these beautiful, beautiful songs that we're still being blessed with today. As Christians, we don't need sight because we have the overwhelming presence of God within us, the Holy Spirit. We see His creation. Like I said earlier, we've seen the sunrise and the sunset. He has revealed Himself through the creation and through the Holy Bible. All of His prophecies have come true, except there's a rapture left. And it can happen at any time. It could happen today, tomorrow. We don't know when. Only God knows when. As Christians, the resurrection is key to our faith. Just as Jesus promised that He would rise from the dead, there with the day of crucifixion, there was a violent earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. The angel rolled back the stone, not so Jesus could get out, but for the whole world to look in and see that this tomb was empty. Jesus appeared to His disciples behind closed doors, and the disciples who feared persecution and death became bold in their faith, didn't they? And they had no fear of dying. And that was one thing in my early walk as a Christian. You know, Jesus performed all these many miracles. I think, wow, you know, those are amazing. All of those miracles are amazing. Well, one thing that really impressed me was how all these disciples at once, when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, scattered like frightened sheep. All of them, one. And I think John, was John the only one there at the cross? Do we know that? We know Peter denied Jesus three times, didn't he? The one thing that really spoke to me is that all these disciples that was frightened came back. And they were bold to share the gospel. They were out there witnessing. They were not afraid to die or afraid of death. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 3, it says, here Paul wrote, "All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest, we were by nature deserving of the wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up from Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, prepared in advance to do so. So while we are still here in this world, we are called to serve God and to create, to serve God and to do his work. And many people do through food banks and reach out to others when they are sick at home and feeling ill. I got one more scripture I was wanting to use. It is Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will endure together forever. And when I was putting this sermon together, I had a vision of an hourglass with a sand running through it. And then I come this morning, or Erin showed me that here on the screen, she had an hourglass with a sand running through it. Our time here is just very short, so we need to do it loving others and loving God with all of our heart. I have one true story I'll finish with, and it's called The Wedding Singer. Ruthanna Metzger was a professional wedding singer from Seattle who asked to sing at the wedding of a wealthy man. The invitation indicated the reception was to be held at the top two floors of the Seattle Columbia Tower, the Northwest skyscraper. When they arrived at the site, there were waiters wearing tuxedos offering hors d'oeuvres and fancy food to the guests. The bride and the groom were standing at the gorgeous staircase of glass and brass that led up to the top floor. A satin ribbon was extended across the stairs at the bottom, where ceremoniously cut. The guests would follow the bridegroom up to the stairs as the feast and festivities began. Excuse me. Ruthanna and her husband Roy were among the guests at the top of the stairs. And there they were greeted by the maitre d', who was holding a bound book outside the entrance doors. The maitre d' asked, "May I have your name, please?" "Oh, my name is Ruthanna Metzger, and this is my husband, Roy." The maitre d' went up and down the ends list and responded, I'm not finding your name here. "Could you spell it?" Ruthanna spelled it very slowly, and the maitre d' checked it again. "I'm sorry, your name is not here." "There must be some mistake," Ruthanna said. "I am the singer. I sang at the wedding." The gentleman responded, "Well, that doesn't matter who you are and what you did. You must have your name written in the book, or else I can't have you let you enter the banquet." Just then, he motioned to the waiter and said, "Show these people to the service elevator." They were escorted past beautiful decorated tables with smoked salmon and carved ice sculptures. Next to the banquet area was an orchestra all dressed in white tuxedo. The rejected couple located their car in the parking garage and started home. After driving several miles in shock silence, Roy reached over and put his hand on Ruthanna's arms. "Sweetheart, what happened?" Tears swelled up in her eyes. "Well, when the invitation arrived, I was busy. I never bothered to RVSP. Besides, I was a singer. Surely I could go to the reception without returning the RSVP. Gets you thinking, doesn't it? We need to respond to God. And you know, if we know somebody today who has not responded to God's invitation, we need to reach out and share with them that Jesus died for them on the cross. And that invitation came through a cross on Calvary, a bloodstained cross where Jesus died for our sins. I hope the Ruth Anna's story may inspire you, inspired me to do a spiritual checkup of where I am with my Lord and Savior. Have I spent enough time with Him in prayer? Have I spent enough time with Him in His Word? And the answer to that was both no. I have not spent enough time with God in prayer and in fellowship and in His Word. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we pray for those today who are living in the moment and embracing all the pleasures of this world has to offer. You have called on us, your children, to be a light in this world and a reflection of our Lord Jesus to others. We ask through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will give us the boldness of Peter and Paul and all the other disciples when it comes to standing for your word. May we share it in truth and in love. We thank you, Father, for this day that we can come together, where we have the freedom to worship, where we can come together and lift each other up and encourage one another. We love you, Father, and we'll forever praise your holy name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.